Pastor said we were here many years ago, and it's been almost 11 years ago since we were last reported here. At that time, we'd come out of the country of Kyrgyzstan, where we were originally started, and some of you that were here, you may remember that we had been attacked by terrorists. At the time, when I was here, I believe I still had a great desire to go back to Kyrgyzstan, and that was my desire, was to return to that country. But it wasn't God's will for me to return, and I fought with God for over 6 months before I finally gave up and said, okay, God, where do you want us to go? God laid on our heart the country of Slovenia. While we were finishing up our furlough, we went to three supporting churches on the East Coast, the last three that we had while we were in the United States. The first one was in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And if any of you are in the military, which I've already met several of you who are, that's the largest concentration of Marines in the world, and that was where I was stationed while I was in the Marine Corps for 5 of the years I served. While there visiting that supporting church, the pastor came up to me after the service, and he said, Daniel, would you pray about going to Aviano, Italy? They've been without a missionary there for 2 years, and they need someone to go. And I'll be honest with you, my first reaction was, no, I don't really want to go there. Now, I didn't tell him that. But that was what I said in my heart, okay, because I knew it was a military ministry. And it's not that I'm against military ministry. It's just my heart's always been to try to reach national people. And so I went to the second church, and the second church was a couple hundred miles away, not related to the first one at all. And the pastor came up to me after the service, and he said, Daniel, have you prayed? Have you considered going to Aviano, Italy? They really need someone to go there. There hasn't been someone for 2 years. And I said, okay, God, I'm not going to fight you. If you want me to go to Aviano, Italy, then I'll go. But you're going to have to make a way for me to go. And I went to the last meeting, and there at that last meeting in Richmond, Virginia, we were meeting in a hotel because the church was a new church plant. And the pastor told us to meet down in the foyer. When I got down there, I saw a rather distinguished older man sitting there in the foyer. And I went over because I knew he was a missionary, because missionaries know missionaries. And I went over and greeted him. It was a missions conference. And he got up and he said, my name is Brother Alverson, the head of the BIMI military ministry. And I said, okay, God, this is a person I need to meet. But I said, God, if this is really you, if this is what you want me to do, I'm not going to ask him. He's going to have to ask me. The second night of the conference, he came up to me and he said, Brother Daniel, have you prayed about going to Aviano, Italy? We really need you to go. I said, Brother Alverson, God's already told me to go. And I explained to him what God had already done. And so from there, we proceeded to go to Aviano, Italy. Now, that first time we went, we didn't know what exactly God was going to do, but we went with the understanding that it might be temporary until God replaced us with another permanent missionary. And God did do that through several circumstances that happened. I can't even tell you I understand all the circumstances, but God did provide that missionary. That was Brother Chris War that you saw in the presentation. And Brother Warren and myself have a close relationship ever since. We moved over to Slovenia, and we've been working in Slovenia and across the Italian border there in Trieste for the last 7 years. And in 2021, in the middle of COVID, God began to work in my heart. And the truth is, I want you to know something, that missionaries can get discouraged. Missionaries can get discouraged. And Europe is not an easy place to see a lot of fruit. And you work hard and you strive and you try to reach people. And you don't always see all the fruit that you'd like to see. I praise God for every little bit of fruit we've seen. But so many missionaries around the world, and I don't want to just single out Europe because there's other places that we see the same thing. I think of a lot of the people that I've just visited out in the western part of the United States. As I look across this church, I want you to be thankful. Can I just challenge you? God has given you something very special here. Because there's many believers around this world and around even this country that could only wish that they had a church like this. God's done something really incredible. You've got something very special. You know, and sometimes it's easy to complain and it's easy to find fault. But I just want you to think that there's many believers around this world that there's just one believer here and one believer there. And they feel very isolated and very alone. And God's given you a very special place. Well, I was praying and I was asking God, I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I was asking him for some very specific answers. To be honest with you, I didn't get all the answers I was really looking for, but I got God's answer. In June of 2021, Brother War, my friend, called me up and said, Daniel, I need to go back to the United States. He asked me, first of all, I knew he was having medical problems, but he asked me to pray for his medical situation. And then he asked me, he said, Daniel, would you pray about coming back to Aviano? And it's probably been one of the hardest decisions I've had to make. But I know that this is what God wants us to do. And so we're going in faith, trusting God that this is what God wants us to do. And we've joined BIMI as part of that transition. We're going to Aviano, and I believe that God is going to use Aviano as a very special place, not only to reach the U.S. military, but I believe that God is sending us there so we have some people that we can encourage and challenge to go forward and not only reach the U.S. military, but to reach the people in that area. There's literally millions and millions of people and almost no gospel witness whatsoever. Well, there's lots of religion. Lots and lots of religion. And the world's getting more religious every moment. They're getting more superstitious every moment. But there's a lot of hopeless people without anybody to share with them directly. And so I'd ask that you'd pray for us as we go back to Aviano, Italy. We're excited about what God's called us to do. And I'd ask you to give that you'd ask God to give me wisdom as I go back, because I can't do it in my own power. I'm no different than every one of you right here. You know, when I was growing up as a child, I grew up in church. My parents got saved just before I was born. My parents helped start a brand new independent Baptist church in a little town in Ghent, New York. And that's what I grew up in. I came to know Christ as my Savior at an early age. And I remember seeing pastors and missionaries and going, wow, I can never be like them. I just cannot achieve that level of spirituality. Then as I got a little bit older, guess what I found out? I found out that they have shortcomings and they have weaknesses. And you know what? Every one of us does. And it's easy to pick at each other. It's easy to find fault with each other. And it's easy to be discouraged and feel like, you know, why even go on? You see, you know, we've all known people that have failed. They've come short. We know people that may not even be in the ministry anymore. But God, that's not what we got to look at. We got to look at not at man, we've got to look at God. Because he's the one that will keep us going. And so as we go back to Aviano, it's not because Daniel Norton has a lot of ability, it's because that's what God's asked me to do, and he's called me to do. And I'm trusting him and believing him that he's going to use us and use us there in Aviano to not only reach the U.S. military, but that God would allow us to challenge them to be able to help us reach the Italians. This is something that Brother Warren and I both have a heart to do, and we're thankful that now in the church there's three Italians that have been saved and they're part of that church. And we're just asking God that he would let us see that ministry be a lighthouse in that area and be an encouragement not just to the people locally, but I'm asking God that that ministry would be used to encourage people all across Europe and across Italy, encourage missionaries to go forward for God. Because there's so many missionaries that even in this last year, we've lost two in the former Yugoslavia. And I believe that one of the number one reason we lose missionaries is because of discouragement. And so we're desiring to see God do an incredible work there. We're desiring to God to call out some Italians and some Slovenians that they would go forward for the Lord. And so as we go forward, I don't see it as a transition, I guess, as much as I see it as a new chapter in what God has for us to do. So I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. If you'd like to come, I'm inviting you. You know, not all missionaries will do that, but we love having people come. So if you want to come to Italy, you're invited. If you want to come visit, that's fine. If you want to come help, we'd love to have your help. And so please come and visit us. I promise you I won't work you too hard, okay? But I want to share with you tonight something that God has given to me. I feel like sometimes the best messages that you can ever preach are the ones that God preaches in your own life. And he speaks to your heart. And I want to share with you out of John chapter 5, if you'll turn there, a passage of scripture that in the midst of all this, in the midst of all the decisions that have had to been made over the last 2 years, that God gave us this verse that we're going to read. I'm going to start, for the sake of context, I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 5 of John. It says this: After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for what you've done in my life, Lord. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be used by you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for my family, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for the souls and the friends that we have in Europe right now, Lord. And Lord, I do pray for them, Lord, and I pray for Pastor War, Lord, as he's here back in the United States. Lord, we pray for those that are left behind, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to those that are unsaved and bring them to salvation, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those that are saved, Lord, as they wait for our return, Lord, that they would be encouraged, Lord. And Lord, help them not to be weary in well-doing. Lord, we look forward to the day that we'll be reunited with them very soon. In your name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, you see a very familiar account. Most of us know this account. We've heard it taught and preached many times. But I want you to think about this man for just a second. This man had a lot of problems in his life. He had a lot of things going on, and I want you to think about this in maybe in terms of your own life. I understand we can apply this in many different ways. But you think about the circumstances this man had in his life. He was sick. He was so sick that he was hindered to the point where he could not walk. He was unable to move himself very effectively. And he had been in that condition for 38 years. For 38 years, he had been laying crippled, unable to move. For 38 years, he had no one to help him. I mean, listen, there was that pool right there that the Bible tells us an angel stirred, and we can believe, since the Bible says that, it appears that there was people that came down and they were healed in that pool when the angel stirred it. And you say, well, do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Listen, the man said others stepped down and they were healed, and I couldn't get in because I couldn't move. You know, he had no one to care for him. He had no one that cared about him enough to be there to help him, even though he had been there 38 years. You know, there's a lot of circumstances in our lives that will cause us to want to quit on God. There's a lot of circumstances that will cause us to feel like, is it really worth going on? But you know, there was other problems he faced. You know, even after he was healed, we can see that, you know, the religious crowd should have been excited, shouldn't they have? They should have been excited about what God was doing in their life. But instead, all they had to say was attack him and say, why are you carrying your bed? Instead of rejoicing with him, they were upset with him because he was violating their religion. And can I tell you, religion has done an incredible amount of damage in this world. And religion will do a lot of damage in your life. You know, it's easy to talk about everybody else, but I'm an independent Baptist. And you know what? Even though we don't say that we are religious, can I tell you, many times we have religion instead of faith. God has called us to faith. He hasn't called us to religion. And you know, there's so many times that if we're not careful, there's so many times I'm afraid that I have discouraged a Christian brother or sister in the Lord from going forward for the Lord and trusting God for another step. Because I thought I was doing the right thing, but it wasn't the right thing, it was just religion. I don't have time to share my whole testimony, but my life has been a life of learning to just simply trust God. You know, we all have the Christian checklist. You understand what I'm saying? We have the Christian checklist. And we say, you know, if we do this and we do this and we do this, then we're right with God. You know, if we're going to do this and we need to do this, 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 this. That's the Christian checklist. You know what that is? That's religion. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Religion will cause us to doubt God. Religion will cause us just to live our life kind of just going day to day without ever really trusting God to do something that's beyond ourselves. Religion will get us just living a mundane, empty, mediocre Christian life. But you know, there's also in verse 14, it's kind of interesting about this man. We see that in verse 14 it says, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, if you think about this, there's very few accounts in the New Testament where Jesus goes back to a person that was healed and specifically tells them, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this man. We don't know what happened, why he was crippled or anything. We know in other passages that Jesus told, you know, the Jews of that day usually looked upon people who were crippled or injured as being sinners and having done something to deserve what had happened. Well, we know in other passages that Jesus literally tells them that, listen, this isn't because his parents sinned or he sinned, it's because for the glory of God. So we know that Jesus actually reprimanded the Jews for that belief. But with this man in particular, he comes back and specifically talks to him about sin. And so I can't tell you why he does that, but one thing I can tell you is that personal sin will also discourage us and keep us from going forward for God. Listen, we're not going to go forward for God. We're not going to trust him if we're living in sin. And so we see a lot of things that will, just a few things in this passage that are mentioned that can keep us from going forward for God. But I want tonight to share with you really, in this passage, verse 11, the things that God shared with me and the things that he has spoken to my heart about and the things that have helped me going forward for God, even in the midst of discouragement. And that's verse 11. Listen to what the man said to the religious crowd that attacked him. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. About a year ago, in the midst of all this, we were reading this passage in our family devotions. And my wife and I were very discouraged at the time. And we, as we read this passage, we came to this scripture. And we read that verse. And my wife and I looked at each other because God said the same thing to each of us. I want to share with you three things that will keep you going forward for God. We live in a very dark world, and if we're not careful, it's going to make us cynical, it's going to make us faithless, and it's going to make us empty and void in our lives as Christians. Three things that will keep you going. Number one, he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me." If you want to keep going for God, the first thing you need to remember is the one that made you whole. If you're here tonight and you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, one day Jesus passed by and he made you whole. He saved you. Can I tell you, there is no greater event in your entire life than the day that Jesus made you whole. And there's no one else in this world that can make you whole. I want you to turn just the next chapter over, John chapter 6. It's a verse I love. It's a verse that I've gone to many, many times. If you pick it up in verse 66 of chapter 6, it says this, "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him," talking of Jesus. Jesus had just preached a very hard message, and many of his disciples forsook him. Many of his disciples turned back, and in verse 67, it tells us, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And Simon Peter replies, and you got to love Simon Peter. He said a lot of things out of turn, but he says some great things in the Bible, and this is one of the greatest. "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Can I tell you, there is no hope anywhere else. If you quit and you say, you know what, I give up. I don't want to serve God anymore. I don't think it's worth it. I don't want to be in church anymore. I don't think it's worth going forward for God. Who are you going to turn? Because he is the only one that has eternal life. There is no one else you can turn to. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, we always sang this chant. It said, when we ran, we said, "There ain't no use in looking down. There isn't any discharge on the ground." And can I tell you, that is the truth with the God. God has saved you. He saved you for eternity. And there isn't any use in looking down. There isn't anything better down there. But there is one person who is greater than this entire world. He is greater. He has overcome the world. And that is Jesus Christ. And so we need to look up to him. We need to remember who made us whole. But the second thing I want you to see from the verse in chapter 5, I want you to see what else we can read from this man and what he said to these men. He said, "He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed." Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, when he healed that man, he gave him a purpose. He gave him a task. He gave him a job, and that job was to take up his bed. He gave him a purpose that he was supposed to do. He had to pick up the bed. And can I tell you that God has saved every one of you for a purpose? He's given you a purpose in life. And he's got a bed that he wants you to pick up. And you know, when we get discouraged and we want to quit and we want to say it isn't worth it, it's because we forgot the purpose that God has given us. He's made us whole and he's given us a purpose. You know, a lot of people talk about self-esteem, and I'm not a big fan of self-esteem. But can I tell you, you are valued by God at greater than the entire universe, you personally. And he has a purpose for you. And it doesn't make a difference how dark the day gets. It doesn't make a difference how difficult your life is. Can I tell you, God has a purpose for you. And he wants you to accomplish that purpose. I can't tell you what that purpose is, but God has a purpose for each one of you. He's got a purpose. And a person with a purpose, with a mission, with a desire to serve God is not going to stop. He's going to go forward and accomplish the purpose that God's given him. We need to remember the purpose that God has given us. We need to be a people of purpose. But the third thing I want to share with you in that verse, it says, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. We remember who made us whole. We remember the purpose that God has called us to. But then the final step is we've got to walk. We've got to walk. Now, I want you to think about this man. For 38 years, he had not walked. Do you know what happens to someone that doesn't walk for 38 years? They don't just become weak. Their muscles completely disappear. They're reabsorbed into the body. This man didn't have any muscles. He was completely incapable of doing anything that Jesus asked him to do. Do you realize that if we could take a person like this, and I have a friend that's like this, he's paralyzed from the waist down. And if you looked at his legs, there's nothing there but bone. And if we could operate on him and we could transplant muscles onto his body and we could reconnect his spinal cord to those muscles, do you realize it would take years and years for him to learn to walk again? But Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You know what it took for that man to take that first step? You said, well, he rose, but the first step was a step of faith. Just one. Just one. You know, God's not asking you to conquer the world today. He's asking you to take one more step of faith. Just one more. Here's where we are as Christians. And I grew up in church. We always want to know, God, what's the end going to be? God, what are you going to do with me 20 years from now? God, am I going to be a success? But you know what God wants from us? One step. He wants one step. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 was a scripture that I was called to the mission field years and years ago on a Saturday night in my personal devotions. I don't have time to read the whole thing. I want you to skip down to verse 8. In verse 8, it says this. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. In November of 1997, while I was in the Marine Corps in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii, that night, in my personal devotions, I heard God say, Daniel, who are we going to send? And I said, here am I, Lord, send me. I want you to think about this verse. Do you notice there's something missing here? Just think about what God says. The Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Do you notice God didn't tell Isaiah what he was calling him for? He just said, who will go for us? Isaiah responded in faith and said, Lord, here am I, send me. It's interesting that after that, in verse 9, God gives Isaiah his assignment. And he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. You know what? That wasn't a very good mission. You know what God just told Isaiah? You're not going to see a lot of fruit, Isaiah. Isaiah, you're going to go and you're going to preach, and they're not going to hear, and they're not going to listen, and they're not going to care. Listen to what Isaiah says. In verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long He answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of that land." Isaiah, I want you to go and preach until your people are destroyed and they're removed from this land. That was a hard mission. That was a hard task. It was his friends. It was his family. It was the people that he loved. It wasn't the mission that he wanted. I'm sure that Isaiah wanted to see great revival. He wanted to see Israel turn back to God. But God said, "You're going to go and you're going to preach and they're not going to hear." But I'm so thankful that God gave Isaiah one last promise in verse 13. "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." Can I tell you what God just told Isaiah? He told him, "Your labor's not in vain. Your labor's not in vain, because there's going to be some that will return." You know, we're living in an age and we're living in a time that is dark. We're living in a time that many people's love of God is waxing cold. There's many people that are turning away from God. There's many people who are not listening. My heart is sorrowful for our country, for our military, for everything that I see going on around us. It hurts. I didn't join the Marine Corps to have a good time. I joined the Marine Corps because I thought my country was worth even dying for. I didn't join the Marine Corps to get away from God. I joined the Marine Corps because I really actually believed, and I still do believe, that the freedom we have was worth the sacrifice that our forefathers made. And so my love for my people has not decreased, but my heart hurts for what I see around the world. Esther 4:14, another passage that God used in my life. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Can I tell you that God has placed every one of us here for such a time as this? And the decision that we have to make tonight and tomorrow and the next day is, will we serve God? Will we go forward for God? Will we take one more step of faith? And then the next day, take another step of faith and another step of faith. It's not time to be discouraged. It's time to trust God. It's time to take another step of faith and remember Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.